Okay, so tonight is a Tu B'Av, so it's certainly an appropriate topic to discuss stealing one's shidduch. So what's this inyan? So the Mishnah, just in about Tu B'Av, the Mishnah and the Tainus tells us, Chaf Vav Amud Beis, the concept of Tu B'Av. So the Mishnah says that Lo Hayu Yamim Tovim Liyisrael B'Kichamisha Asar B'Av Kima Kippurim. There is no greater Yom Tov like these 2 days, at least all. That Shehem Shebehen Benos Yushalayim Yotzeis B'Chli Lavan Sheulin, that the daughters of Yishlaim would go out wearing white clothing that were borrowed, Shalil Vayishas Misha Einlo, not to embarrass those who don't have white clothing, and Kola Kalim Tunin Trila, and they go out, the Benos Yishlaim would go out to the Yotos Vecholos Bekram, they'd go in circles in the vineyards. Mahi Omers, what would they say? Bacher, young boy, Sa Na Einecha, lift up your eyes, Ure Mata Borelecha, what are you going to choose? Atite Einecha, Benoi, don't place your eyes, emphasis on beauty, physical beauty. Look at the yichus. Look at our families. Look at our midos. Okay, so that's the Mishnah that describes the inyan of Tu B'Av. So we see clearly Tu B'Av is about shidduchim, marriage. So this topic is certainly fits in very nicely. And the question before we read the Gemara Moed Katan, the question was posed for Moshe Feinstein, if there was a girl and boy that were dating. So is there an Isser to be Mahapech Becharar? Mahapech Becharar means, we'll look at the Gemara in Kedushin in just a moment, if a Ani is, let's say, going through the garbage dump, he's looking for something, and he finds something special, and some guy just jumps in and takes the diamond he found away, that's a violation of the Gemara described. So let's say a guy is working on a certain shidduch, he's dating someone, and he's doing all his shalas, and then some guy says, oh, she's a great girl, he comes, swoops in, and he takes that girl and marries her. Is that a violation?
And only by Ani?
Only by Machlokas. Right? We'll get there, but it sounds like Ani only, yeah.
Right.
So then the... So one of the proofs that the person who, the Shoel, asked for Moshe, he thought that it would perhaps be allowed is based on the Gemara in Moed Katan. The Gemara in Moed Katan seems to permit one to take someone else's shidduch. How so? So the Gemara there is talking about Mishnah in Moed Katan, Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis, that the Mishnah says you could write a certain Kedushin Nashim, certain things related to marriage. Why are you allowed to write a Kedushin Erisin, which is not Nisun? Nisun is marriage, Kedushin Erisin is the engagement. It's a stage before that. So why are you allowed to write these things on Chol HaMoed? You can't write on Chol HaMoed, it's an Issur of Ksiva. So the Gemara says that Shmuel explains, Mutter la'aris isha b'chol shemoed. A person's allowed to get engaged to a girl on Chol HaMoed, Shema yikadmenu acher, maybe someone else is going to get her. That's what the Gemara says. Someone else might chaper, so I want a chaper, I want to solidify this arrangement, so we'll do the erisin now, and we'll do nesuin sometimes after. Nesuin isn't allowed on Chol HaMoed because ein marvin simcha b'simcha. The Gemara explains that there are a few different reasons, but the simple understanding is ein marvin simcha b'simcha. You can't mix 2 simchas together. That means you can't get married, which is a simcha, on Chol HaMoed, which is also Simcha, you're mixing 2 things together. So that's what the Gemara says, going back to Ches Amud Beis. That's why you can't get married. But although Nisuin is not allowed on Chol HaMoed, Erisin is allowed. Erisin is not as much Simcha, it's only the first stage. So that's why Erisin is allowed, and simply because you might miss the opportunity of this particular woman. That's what the Gemara says. So Gemara goes on to explain back and forth how to understand different brises, and the Gemara concludes that Erisin is allowed. But then the Gemara asks a very, very important question. Don't we have a concept that Shmuel himself says, V'hamar Shmuel, b'chol yom v'yom bas kol yotzeis v'omeres, every single day, there's a heavenly voice that comes out and says, bas ploni leploni, that this girl is going to get married to this guy. And so the ploni leploni in this field is going to go to that guy. And it also says in the Gemara in Sot, it says, this bias goes to that guy. So all these things are destined beforehand, and there's a certain basher. So what do I mean if some other guy might get her? It's my wife. Hashem said that I'm going to marry this girl, Rachel Sarah, and she's my wife. So what I need to rush for? I could wait a few days and get married to her afterwards. So the Gemara explains, Shema yikadmenu acher birachamim. Perhaps someone else might chap her through rachamim, which means through tefillah. So even though she was destined to be my wife, Reuven, if he davens really hard, he can marry her, even though she was my basher. That's what the Gemara says. And the Gemara says, he gives a maisa, that one time Rava once heard Shmaya, Lahu Gavra de Bay Rachme. He heard a guy davening. This week's parsha is a beginning about davening. Veschanan, it's all about tefillah. All the svarim talk about tefillah. And there's a discussion whether or not a person should daven quietly or daven out loud. And the Pitzadik deals with this contradiction. It sounds like a person has to daven quietly, because Hashem knows what I'm saying. I don't need to be loud. I need to scream. But there are other indications that there's an need to scream as well, to say out loud. So you end up dealing with it that when you scream to daven out loud, it's not because Hashem needs to hear you, because you need to hear it. Needs to come from the depth of your levi, you screaming it out. So there's an inin of davening out loud. So, Rava heard a guy davening out loud. This guy really wanted to marry this girl. And he says, V'amar tiz davening li plonasya. Please let me marry Rachel Sarah. I want to marry her. So Amar Leh, Rava goes over to the guy after shul and says, Lo ti boy rachmehach. We don't daven like this. Ichazilach lo azli minech. If she's roi for you, if she's meant to be your asher, Hashem won't let her not be your asher. It's going to work out. Vilo. And if she's not meant to be your wife, Kafartiv Hashem, you're in essence rejecting Hashem. You're not accepting what he's doing. The Basar Hachi, afterwards he heard him saying, Shemaya. So the guy tweaked his tefillah. He said, O ihu limos mekama, o ihi tamos mekame. Either that guy should die first, her bashert, or she should die first. He changes his tefillah, and he ends up saying, didn't I tell you not to daven this way? So we see from this Gemara, though, that if a person does daven such a way, he can chop someone else's basher. So it sounds like it's allowed also. It would work. Meaning, if it wouldn't work, so then we shouldn't be concerned with the tefillah. If that guy was a mahabe charara, Reuven and, let's say, Yaakov and Rachel were supposed to get married. So now, how could that guy daven? How could Reuven daven and take Rachel away from him? The only way it would work would be that you're allowed to take someone else's shidduch away. That's what was the shaila that was posed to Ramosha. Now, as a side point, since this is a week of tefillah as well, so this is one of the sources they prove the koach tefillah. That tefillah, people sometimes think it's stuck when they need a certain inyan, whether it's a tzara or a parnasa or a shidduch, children. So one of the rais that bring how tefillah is so powerful, that tefillah is able to even go against things that are against the teva. Meaning Rachel and Yaakov were supposed to get married. But if a guy who's not meant to marry her davens, that tefillah may be answered to get him to marry Rachel, even though it goes against what the way the world is supposed to be. So that if Torah, if tefillah is able to get something that you really don't deserve, so certainly tefillah could work for something that you do deserve. So this is an important raya they bring from this particular Gemara. But for our purposes, so the Shaul asked for Moshe, so we see that a guy could daven for someone else's shidduch. So you can take someone else's shidduch away. So Moshe answers, this is at the very, very end. We're going to go work backwards here, just to address our Gemara Moed Katan first. But Moshe, the very last paragraph of this whole piece here, he ends up saying as follows. We'll read this together inside.
Isn't the Gemara Mashma that Rava is telling him, it's Basharat, you're wasting your time?
It sounds like that, that's very good. That could be an interpretation. I hear. And it seems that the way they understood it, that it was, no, it works. It can work if you really daven hard enough. That's just not how to daven, though. We don't daven for particular things that you don't know what's meant for you. You don't say, let me be, you know, the guy's in college, doesn't know what he wants to be. Let me be the best, investment banker, the best doctor, the best lawyer. Well, you don't know what you're supposed to be yet. Let's say, let me be successful whenever I do. That's something more generic, because to pick, I want to marry her, or I want to live there, I want to buy that house, you have no idea what's supposed to be for you. So you say, you daven, Hashem, give me a house that's best for me, best for my family, a community that's best for me, my family. So specific. Correct. The Nefesh Chaim Rav Chaim Rav Lajan talks about in tefillah, all tefillah really is have me do something that gives nachas ruach to Hashem. Really generic. That's really what it all means. Just very general speaking, Hashem will give you whatever you need to accomplish your goals in this world. But I think Dr. Shmaya has a great point, though, that it sounds like the other way to read the Gemara is that Rav is saying, don't daven this way because it just doesn't work.
Hashem but knows yeah. what's best for us anyway. We're right. going to get what's yeah. best for us anyway, whether we daven or not.
Right, but they say here, tefillah is so powerful, it could even trump what's best for us sometimes. That's the danger of it.
So what he's saying is it almost sounds like it's better off if you don't daven.
No, not Be'er of Daven. You daven generally. You daven to Hashem to connect to Hashem. You don't say what you want. We need Parnassa, we need a house. Whatever is best, that's all. That's the best way to daven.
If you don't daven?
Then you're missing tefillah, you're missing mitzvahs.
Okay, but if you don't daven, you're still not getting what's destined for you?
Possibly not. The Gemara says that the Chazal tells Adam Arishon that there was fruits and things ready to grow from the ground, but it couldn't come up until Adam daven. So davening has an effect. Now, what the effect will be depends on how you direct it. The tefillah is certainly necessary. How to say things. So that's a whole other Indian of what to daven for, how to daven. But the understanding of most that I saw, all the achronim, that such a tefillah does work. It does work, though.
That's what appears to be from the story, the fact that he ended up marrying her and then it didn't work out. That seems to be perhaps what Rav was worrying about.
Did it say they ended up getting married, though? See, how does Rashi say this? And I don't think it ever happened. He just changed his davening around. He says, if I don't marry her, so let her die first. I don't have to see her. Marry someone else. So let him daven die first, so I don't have to see either me die or her die. But it was never. We never see that they actually get married. The Gemara doesn't say that. We don't know if it did work. So it's still an open question whether such a tefillah does work. But the Achronim do understand that the tefillah does work, even though it goes against what was meant.
Maybe it was more makpid than the second tefillah of the me and her dying, because it's true that somebody's destined to marry a certain person, but if you daven for somebody to die, maybe that's powerful, you know?
Well, it seems that Rav was bothered by both elements, by both tefillahs. The first one, let me marry her, and the second one as well, let her die or me die, I don't have to see her marry someone else. But I think it's still a very fair question. The simple reading of the Gemara, we don't know if such a tefillah does work. Achronim do understand that it does work, and that's a koach tefillah. So Moshe ends up saying, so isn't this a proof that if a tefillah works in such a case, so that means you are allowed to take someone else's shidduch away? So Moshe writes in the very last paragraph here, and he goes, Moshe, Masha hevi lahatir mehod da'amar shmuel b'moy katan daf yud ches, d'mutir la'aris ishta b'chol shemoid. That you're allowed to marry a girl or get engaged to a girl during Chol HaMoed, lest someone else gets a berachmim, right? That was the whole idea. The fact that Shmuel was concerned, the whole concern of Shmuel was predicated that someone else could chaper berachmim. So we see that it does work then. So we see if it does work. So you could chap someone else's girl who he's dating. Kavanaso is dim aser lacherim l'shadech la. If it's usur for Reuven to take Yaakov's shidduch, lo mistaver shikab Hashem isbarach tefilasa, then Hashem wouldn't accept the tefillah. So for the fact that Hashem does accept such tefillah, it's a raya that af la'achar shigamru hashiduchim, even after a shidduch was already read, deha asur l'kadesh b'lo shiduchah, you can't get married without having an initial shidduchim, without dating. So it seems from here that the one's allowed to take someone else's shidduch away. So the Rav Moshe ended up writing further, Aval Ein Zeraya, this is no proof. Mishimcha, the number one, Dilapamim Zoch Adam Me'ezatam Shashem Yisbarachi Kaba Tfilaso, this is the key line. Hashem accepts people's tefillahs. Af Shemivakesh Davar Shelo Hayaroy Levakesh. The guy says, I want to, he davens for, I want to get a, I don't know, who knows what, get a Porsche. He wants to get a Porsche. It's not right for him at all, he can't afford it. Hashem grants him a Porsche, and it's a terrible thing for him, for many, many reasons, I'd say. So then, Hashem sometimes grants people's tefillahs, even if it's not right for them. V'darach Hashem Yisbarach ne'lamu meitanu. How it works, why it works, we have no idea. We can't figure it out. But Rav Moshe writes, sometimes Hashem answers people's tefillahs, even when it doesn't make any sense for them.
Isn't there an idea that a woman shouldn't be dating two guys at the same time? She's finished with one, she shouldn't go to the
Pi halacha or just Pi eitz as an advice? Yeah, I'm not familiar with an halacha that's problematic. I mean, we'll see here. It might be problematic, but based on this particular sugya here, this might be the sugya that would say it would be a problem. But it sounds like, as we'll see, it may not be as much. I don't think it might be. We'll see as we go through Moshe in just a second.
It's a simple proof just from the Parsha's Bilam where he says no, then he says yes.
I don't see how that's approved here.
The davening, where Hashem says don't go, and then he goes, and I. With the way a man wants to go, Hashem helps him go.
No, that could be also a person. Whatever the Gemara says, any way a person wants to go, it does work. Hashem supports him, so that would also be a person wants to go to a bad way. Okay, that's the decision you make. That's how you daven. So I'll be on your side. You know, this is your life. I'm here to help you out. Yeah, it could be. Yeah, very good. Okay. So now the real sugya of this concept of taking someone else's shidduch is really based on the Gemara in Kedushin Daven and Tess, which is called Mehapech Becharara. So what's the case here? Let's read together number one, the Gemara in Kedushin Daf Nun Tes Amud Aleph. The Gemara says, Gidal haya mehapich b'hayara. Gidal was busy involved in buying a piece of property. He did all the research on the property. He looked at the history and the investment and how it grew and the farm and whatnot. And comes in, after all the work's been done, also Rabbi Abba Zavne. Rabbi Abba came, Gidal, he went away for a day to take care of some other investments, and then came in to Rav Gidal, and he took that land, he bought the land that Gidal had been working on for months on. So also Rav Gidal, Kabbal Rabbi Zera. Rav Gidal went to speak to Rabbi Zera, to tell Rabbi Zera what Rabbi Abba did. So also Rabbi Zera now, the Kabbal Rabbi Yitzhak Nafka. Rabbi Zera didn't know what to do. So he went to Rabbi Yitzhak Nafka, he went to the higher authority. It's important to note that when it comes to Shilas, you have to be able to do the hierarchy of asking questions. So you first went to the lower rabbi, the lower rabbi didn't know, he went to the higher rabbi. So as an aside, the Chavetz Chaim learns from here, isn't this Lashon Hara? You know, that Gidal is telling on Rabbi Zera took this away from me. He said, no, you're allowed to tell these things when there's a certain to'elas. The person does something bad and you're trying to fix the problem. That's not a problem of Lashon Hara. Okay, sounds obvious. So then, what did Rabbi Yitzchak Nafka say? He says, Amr lei, hamtein ad shayala et slein l'rego. Let's just wait it out. Let's be patient. Sometimes when it comes to decision-making, you need to be very patient. You have to have a chachma, how to say things. If you confront someone directly, it might, blow up. Let's use a little seichel here. So let's wait until the regel, because in the regel, I know Rav Abba has always come to visit me of Mekabel Pnei Rabbo, the regel, so let's wait until the next yantav. So Kisalik, next yantav came around, and Rabbi Abba went to visit Rabbi Yitzchak Nafka. Ashkechai Amrlei, so Rabbi Yitzchak Nafka asked the question to his Talmud, Rabbi Abba. Ani mahapech b'charara u'ba'achar v'nat lehimanu. Ani is busy going through the garbage to find some bread, and some other guy, the Ani goes all the way to the bottom, he finds the treasure in the bottom of the dumpster, some guy comes in and chops the bread away from him. So my, what's the din? So Rabbi Yitzchak Nafka was asking his Talmud, Rabbi Abba, what's the din in such a person? The person who chapped, who stole it. Amrlei Nikar Rasha. That person who stole the ani is working so hard, getting dirty and smelly, going through the dumpster to find the piece of bread to eat. The guy who took it is called a Rasha. So Ella, Mar, my time, Avad Hachi. So then after Rabbi Abba acknowledged such a psak, so Rabbi Yitzchak Nafka says to him, so how come you did this? Remember a few months ago, Gidal was busy doing research and trying to buy the property. He was busy measuring and testing out the soil, and then you just came in and you stole from the Ani. So Amar Lei Lo Havei Yadana, I was unaware. I didn't know. I didn't know that that Gidal was busy working on this property. No one ever told me. I feel terrible. So Hashanami Nisvei Nehalei Mar. Okay, so now that you agreed that you didn't know, so I know that Gidal had been working on it hard. Can you please give the property over to Gidal. So Amalei, Sir Rabbi Abba says to him, Zvunei lo mezavni lo, I won't sell it to him. I refuse to sell it to him. Why? The ara kemaisahi v'lo mesavni milsa. The first property you buy is a good simon. First of everything is always a good simon. So the first property, it's a good idea. It could be investment, but I'll pay siyata d'shemaya. It's a simana milsa. It's a simon ra to get rid of your first property that you own. So I don't want to sell it. I don't want to sell it. I'll give it to him as a gift. You could gift it away, but not to sell the first property. So then Rav Gidal said, I don't want to take that as a gift. Who lives? Who's Yechia? Those who are sone matanos, those who hate gifts, they're zocha to live. So if I accept a gift, if I'm a makabel, if I love gifts, then I won't live. So Rav Gidal wouldn't accept it as a gift. So now there's a stalemate here. Rabbi Abba wouldn't sell it, and he would only gift it, and Rav Gidal wouldn't take it as a gift, he'd only buy it. So now they're stuck. So what happened? Rabbi Abba lo nachisle, mishum dehapichle b'Rav Gidal. Rabbi Abba wouldn't use the land, because he found out now Rav Gidal was mehapich on it. Rav Gidal was working on it hard, and lomar nachisle, lomar, neither one went to the property, because no one wanted to touch it. So now what happened? It became miskare Ara, the Rabbanan, it became the property of the Talmidim. As Rashi explained, it was Hefker, the Talmidim. No one owned it. I mean, it was owned, but no one used it.
How does he reconcile that the first property is a good omen? How is this a good omen for him?
That was in it. I don't know what
how
the...
How is it a good omen that he unknowingly or unwittingly stole the property from an ani?
Yes, I don't know. There's a concept of the first property you buy is a simon.
It's
even
very
if,
nice, but it's not working out for him.
But it's still a good simon to hold on to it. And then even though
somebody liquidates, it looks like he's bankrupt. You know?
It could be that. I'm not sure. I don't know the reason. It could be the way it's perceived, or it could be something in a higher sphere of it's a bad simon. Now, he's not held at fault here because he didn't know. He didn't know that Rav Gidel was doing this, so he was onus. Person's onus, so you're not held accountable for it. So he did nothing wrong at all. He might have done the right thing. But at the same time, since he was makbid on the kavod of his friend, he wanted to, so that was it. So he was stuck. This is a stalemate, and became a hefker for all the Talmidim to enjoy whatever was growing on the property, grapes and fruit and whatnot. So this is a concept of mehabich b'chararo, and someone else knows him, Imenu, Nikra Rasha. So there is a debate in Rashi and Tosos whether or not this is true of buying property or even something from Hefker. Rashi says in number 2 here, Ani Mahapich Bechararo, says Mechazer Acharei Liz Kos Babmina Hefker. So let's say there's a Davar Hefker. There's there's a nice watch that's in the Rosh Sarabim, and no one owns it. It's a person who doesn't know where it is. There's no simon on it. That's Hefker. So then, if you guys working to find the watch and I go ahead and chop it, that would be a violation as well. Now, Tosus says it can't be true. It can't be true. It's only true if you're trying to buy something that's available to everyone. But if it's coming to Hefker, so then he doesn't think it's true. What's his raya? So we know the first Mishnah Maseches Bamatzia and Shaim Ochsim tells us that person sees a Matzia and he falls on top of it, and the other guy sees it and they're busy grabbing it. So we end up saying we divide the property up. And that's a case of a hefker. So Rabbeinu Tam ends up saying that the Isser of Mehapich, Ani Mehapich Becharara, is only true when they're trying to buy something and make money. When it comes to hefker, so then Tosus explains there's no violation. Because let's assume that Tosus assumed the hefker is something you can't get anywhere else. So if it's something, let's say they're selling belts in these stores. So if I can't buy a belt here, I buy a belt somewhere else. So it's not fair that this guy's working on it here. I could go down the block and get it. Why do I have to take this guy's effort away of trying to handle the guy buy a belt here? But if it's a Davar Hefker where you can't buy in the store anywhere, it's a homemade watch, let's say. You can't buy anywhere. So now Tosus explains here that it's not that if I can't get it here, I can't get anywhere else. So since he didn't acquire it yet, even though he's working hard to dig up and find it below the sand and looking with a metal detector to find something here, so it's still, if he finds it, he says beep, 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 and he starts digging, and I just jump in and grab it before he gets it. That, according to Tosus, is allowed because I can't get it anywhere else. This was an antique. So that's what Tosus' understanding is. It only applies to buying something that's available anywhere. That, stop being so lazy. The guy worked hard. Go to the next store to buy that same belt. So that's Tosus' understanding. While Rashi thinks, no. Anytime a person is being mahapich in anything, even if it's an antique, it's the only one in the world, a guy's working on buying some painting, the one in the world, even there, Rashi thinks it's a violation of mahapich b'charara, and you can't take it away. So this is the machlokas. So the Shulchan Aruch records this machlokas, and Ramosha says this is exactly the point when it comes to Shaduchim. So let's read the Ramosha together inside, number 7. And we'll complete the discussion.
What about real estate, like today?
So I was wondering the same thing. Like not every real estate is the same. So
the problem is on the agents, I think, because they know exactly who's bidding, and you have somebody who is struggling, first-time buyers. They keep on showing it to other people. They're over it, no?
I don't know if they're over it because, as we'll see in the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramosha, it's only true once the person made a bid, that an agreement was made. If no agreement was made, so it's open for anyone to bid. That's
still,
really bad.
They still show it.
Even after the bid?
Of course.
After even the agreement.
Because you can still back out.
Right.
It's ani mehapich.
Right, but they show it, but they shouldn't be accepting any more any more bids.
Somebody makes
bids.
A bid. What are you talking about? They're an agent of the seller. If they show it and somebody bids, it's their responsibility to...
No, if it's already accepted. Let's say they accept a bid from someone else already. They accept that. We accept the bid. We're writing up the contract now. And then they show it afterwards anyways. Are they allowed to, I don't know how it works legally, are they allowed to accept a bid from someone else if the first bid was already accepted? Before the contract was written.
I think they do it all the time.
Yeah, so I don't know.
It happened to me back in the day.
Yeah, I'm not sure if they're supposed to.
It's a mehapich. Mehapich means looking at it.
Right, but the way the Shulchan Aruch ends up concluding is it's only if there were prices were decided on. They agreed on a certain price.
I had years ago, I negotiated with somebody for a bungalow, and they accepted it. No shtar, no nothing. It was just verbal. And I was getting the money together to give to them, and then they said, well, we rented it to somebody else, and we don't feel like we did anything wrong because we'd accepted the same price.
Right.
So there was.
So it comes to kinyan bedvarim. When it comes to Jews, the Mishnah says that when it comes to a person accepting an agreement, one Jew to the next Jew, you can't back out of it. You're not allowed to back out. Even without a contract, you can't back out. So once prices are made, now here it works with real estate, you're dealing with non-Jews as well, so if it's no shtar, so there's more reason, more room to back out. But if two Jews, seller and buyer, make an acceptance, as long as if they keep to their different conditions and stipulations, you're not supposed to back out. You have to find heterim for it. But strictly speaking, once they agreed on a price, so then everything should be final. So
we had that story where somebody was... Davening was buying a car from him or something, and he accepted.
Yeah, right.
Remember, he, even though he didn't answer him because he was in the middle of davening.
Yeah, right. He accepted the first one he had in mind. So if you look at Ramosha number 7, let's read through Ramosha how we put this together. Ramosha writes, we'll just read to the bold here. B'inyan iser mehapich b'charara b'shiduchim. With regards to being mehapich, someone else is busy working in a certain shidduch, could some other guy come in and take her away? Ve'echad shemishtadich le'ezanara. They both, two guys want to marry they're looking for the same girl. Do we view this as the same case where an ani is working really hard to try to find something and the guy comes and takes it away from him? Is he called a rasha or no? And maybe the world of shiduchim are very different. So Moshe writes, kol zman shelo hichlitu b'neim, shenigmar shiduch, shehu, ohi mistapkin, adayin, betzim adavar. If the decision hasn't been made, he hasn't asked her to marry her yet, hasn't given her engagement ring yet, there's still some level of sveikus there. There's still some level of doubt whether this is the one. There's always a level of doubt. There's always that leap of faith, but they're not ready to finalize it just yet. Perhaps a financial concern. That there is some level of uncertainty that it may not complete itself. There's no problem at all. So to answer Steve's question, that a girl in theory is allowed to date two guys. One night she goes with one guy, the other night another guy, and see which one ever works out. That's certainly allowed according to Ramosha's understanding, because nothing's been finalized, so she's fair game. And Binyani Mekach Memekar, we have the same exact thing like we just saw in that sugi of the Ani Mahapich Becharara. Aval, in the Chusar Nadayin Hafseka, Shemocher wrote to Bekach, Vakone wrote to Yosef Bezul, Mutilacher the Knoso, just like Mekach Memkar, if they're busy handling, you're in the shuk handling a certain price, and this guy wants that price, that guy wants that price. So it's certainly true that some other guy can come in and say, I'll give you that lower price. And Lachain, he says, Barur Shebemocher Yisrael Chuliyama lo Pligi, de Eich Efshel Lachshiv, Zeladavar Aser, Lachshiv Bemocher. I mean, it's not fair. The guy, the Mocher, is trying to sell something. So now, since the mocher is dealing with one potential customer, so a certain price, Reuven wants a very expensive price to pay, to a low price to buy it. Some other guy, Shimon, comes in, so the mocher can't deal with Shimon until Reuven's off his case? No, he's busy handling. So Reuven says, I'll pay you $50 for it. Shimon could say, I'll pay you $45. And the mocher could say, oh, Shimon, you're my guy. It's not fair to the mocher, but because one guy walked into the store first to handle with him, he can't sell at a lower or higher price. So therefore, there is no concern of by Mecca Memkar until a price has been set.
In many cases, that's how the mocher gets his price.
By handling.
By having multiple people bidding on
something. Vimkain, if that's the case. Kol shekein b'shiduchim, the same holds true as well when it comes to a shidduch. Shekol's man shelo hechlitu ligmor, so long as they haven't decided that the shidduch is complete yet. Ha'inyan mishnei tzadim, from both parties haven't decided yet, the parent and the chasan and kala. Ein bazeh din mahapech b'charara l'chul yam. Everyone agrees this is not a violation of one being mahapech b'charara and the other guy stealing it away. L'chul yam she'ein l'cha hefzeh gadol mazeh. She'teinara muchrechas linaseh rak la'rishon. It's not fair to the girl, because the first guy she dated, and there's not, things haven't worked out yet, so she can't see anybody else, so she has to wait until several months until they make the decision. No, she's completely allowed. So that's the understanding of Rav Moshe. But then he says, "Im," the next paragraph, "im kvar hechlitu ligmor ha-shidduch," if they already decided that the shidduch is good, "ach shadayin lonase kinyin shenogin lasos begemar shidduch," and they didn't make the final kinyin, "tali zeba din hefker matana." He says it depends. So he ends up concluding, I don't want to get through all the details of Mahapech Harar. It's a very, very fascinating discussion here. We have to really be holding in that sugya. In the end of the day, he says, now go to the end of the next paragraph where it says, Nimsa shebimidinaseinu, in our land, and here in America, Kishelo heisnu ba'es shechlitu ligmor ha'inin, lasas klum, that when they decide that this is a good shidduch here, so they didn't make any kinyan. When, you know, boy and girl get engaged, we don't do any kinyanim there. Shibarov pamim him kvar b'shem chasam v'kala. They're called a chasam v'kala, miles of chasam v'kala. But there was never a formal arrangement, a formal agreement at all. No contracts were written up. Take of achrei hachliatasam. The moment the chasam v'kala, the parents agree that they should get married, they're called chasam v'kala. So he says, av shaleka iser mitzad mapich b'charara l'svar rishona. Even though there's no iser, because mapich b'charara is only true when there's a real kinin. There's something more decisive that's made. So still, there's an iser mitad acherim. He said there's an issue when a shidduch, when people agree to something, you can't just end it just like that. It's a cherim to get involved, to be mevatel the shidduch. If the chasan and kala decide it's not working out, they're able to undo the arrangement. But for someone else to come and ruin that shidduch, that's bechal a certain cherim that chachamim made. So therefore he ends up concluding that the moment they're called chasan and kala, so that's considered final enough, and anyone else to try to come and date that girl would be violating Mapich Becharara or being Mevatel this Cherim. And therefore Moshe concludes that up until before Chasan and Kala, before they're called Chasan and Kala, a girl could date multiple people. The moment they're called Chasan and Kala, even though halachically nothing has really been affected yet, still Moshe paskins that one is not allowed to date that Kala anymore, which of course would make sense in our society. And therefore it's usher at that point.
So public declaration.
Exactly. Once they're known as chasan v'kala, that's understood. Exactly, that's binding in this particular halacha, and therefore she cannot date anymore. And just to conclude again, don't ask me from that question of the Gemara and Morikatan, just to bring it back to that point, that Ramosha, that Shmuel said in the Gemara that you're allowed to get engaged, you could do erusin on chalamoid. Why? Because Shema yikad menu acher birachmim. Someone else might chaper by davening. So you see, you can steal someone else's shidduch away. Moshe said, no, that's because the koach ha-tefila is so good that sometimes tefila could give you things that you don't really deserve. It's usher to do this. Still, in an amazing way, tefila is able to even give things that might be usher to you, and therefore you can't bring a raya.
So will you be usher to daven for
that? Seemingly be usher to daven for that. I would guess so. Probably should be.
I mean, yeah, usher to do it, but it's usher to daven for it.
I would guess so. I would think so. I don't know, but I would guess so. Yeah.
This might be a strange question, but if we say that it's based on like a public knowledge, what if a girl is dating somebody in New York and dating somebody else in Philadelphia, and the guy in New York gives her a ring and the guy in Philadelphia gives her a ring, and she's known as a kala in both situations? One ring is nicer than the other one. She started dating one guy.
Right.
It seems like just a public recognition.
Doesn't collector of rings.
Like, there could be many ways around it. There's nothing like
that. Right. Well, I would say whoever gave the ring first that she accepted, she's a kala now, and then she can't accept from the second guy.
But even if it's a nicer ring, it's like the case of like something, anything else, like
a bidding war.
No, but once the same kala comes out, that's divided.
Once anywhere it's come out, once that like sort of she's defined as like a kala by accepting something.
Exactly. Right.
Both of them should back it.
Both of them should back out, you said?
Yeah. Okay. Two questions. Number one, in terms of the Mishnah, why does the Mishnah just need to permit writing on Chol Hamoed to do this? Why can't they just say Harakan Mikudeshly as opposed to giving a shtar?
I don't think we have to, but since Kedushin is allowed, so that means all three Kedushins are allowed. You don't have to do, you could certainly give Kesef, that would be sufficient, but you want the option of a shtar, that would be permitted. Right?
Okay. And the second question is we're worried about Shema Yikamenu Achar, but you may be the Achar. She may, you know, somebody may, you know, like, if it was usher to, you know, for anybody to be Mekadesh or on Moed, so then there's no problem, there's no, like, competition coming in. But if now that you're permitting it, so that way you can get in there before somebody else, so somebody else has the same heter to do that as well.
In Echanami, it ends up being first come, first serve, whoever chaps her first. But then he says, but isn't there a problem of don't be so concerned because it's all bashert? No, because it might be your bashert here, but some guy might daven for it and undo it. So,
but it's only Shemini Kamenu Achar if he's allowed to also. So it's only because they decided that...
I see what you're saying. I see. It's possible maybe you could say... Right. But Ariel's pointing out here, if the Achar can't get married in Chol Moed, so I have nothing to concern. Neither one of us could get married in Chol Moed. So let's just both wait until after Yom Tov. So maybe the point is that maybe the Multi Yom Tov right away, that guy, the 15 seconds after Abdullah, he's going to chaffer. So therefore, I need a chaffer now during Chol Moed before he gets her 15 seconds after Havdalah. That's a good question, though. Okay.
It's mashma. You can see your friend looking at a prophet.